The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
How about that? The Browns will make their first playoff appearance since 2002 on Sunday night against the Steelers. Here's a full look at the wild card weekend slate with the Colts and Bills kicking off the action on Saturday. Six games in total in the opening round as the top seeded Chiefs and the Packers will receive byes in this year's new playoff format. We welcome you to NFL Live, everyone. Coming up soon, Doug Peterson's coaching decisions last night have gotten the lion's share of all the decisions. You have the cameras over there, Dan. We're going to tell you, though, why Carson Wentz's silence actually speaks volumes. That's Dan Orlovsky. You see Mina Kimes. You see Marcus Spears there. And on a day full of all kinds of news, we got Adam Schefter, as always. And let's begin there. Let's get to the news, Adam, that you reported the last hour here involving John Elway. What do we know?
Dramatic news, Laura. A little bit unexpected here out of Denver, but John Elway is stepping down as the general manager and stepping up into a higher front office position where he no longer will be the GM. He will hire a GM. He will be the director of football operations. The Broncos now will become the seventh team in the NFL, seventh, to be looking for a general manager this offseason. The new GM, whoever he is, will be working side by side with the Broncos head coach, Vic Fangio, to make the roster decisions moving forward. But John Elway, an icon, a legend in Denver, is taking a higher position up as the director of football operations. He's done so much for that franchise, and I think he just feels like it's time to give somebody else more of that responsibility.
Yeah, caught a lot of us by surprise, to your point there, Adam. Of course, with the regular season coming to a close, coaching moves being made all around the NFL, what are the headlines today, starting with Lynn?
The Chargers fired Anthony Lynn this morning. Anthony Lynn met with the team owner, Dean Spanos, who gave him the news that after four seasons, a 33-31 record, Anthony Lynn was out. We saw some of the clock issues in Los Angeles this year, which really were not his. There were play calls that he's the head coach that he is responsible for. But Anthony Lynn, former Coach of the Year candidate, now on the street looking for a job elsewhere. Chargers looking for a new coach, as are the New York Jets, who fired Adam Gase last night. The Jets today put in permission slips to interview the Chiefs offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, the Colts defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus, the Titans offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith. It's going to be a long, detailed, thorough search that they're now going to go on to try to replace Adam Gase. And the Jacksonville Jaguars relieved their head coach, Doug Marone, of his duties this morning. They've moved on from him just as they moved on from their general manager, Dave Caldwell, about a month ago. Jacksonville has a tremendously attractive situation to offer to other teams. A lot of benefits to that job. But Doug Marone was let go this morning. Obviously got that team to the AFC Championship game a few years ago in New England. So close to breaking through, to getting to the Super Bowl. Couldn't get it done in the end, and Shad Khan, the Jaguars owner, didn't feel that Doug Marone was the man to get it done for this team any further.
Adam, you mentioned some of the names that are already interviewing. We'll be talking about those a little bit later on in the show, but let's talk about the jobs themselves. So we'll start with you, Adam. Which job do people that you're talking to around the league think is the best available?
Well, Laura, here's the situation. When you look at this and break it down, Jacksonville has the number one overall pick in a draft that has a quarterback that many scouts believe is a generational quarterback in Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence. They have 11 total picks in the 2021 NFL draft, thanks to some of the trades that they made involving players like Jalen Ramsey and Yannick Ngakoue. They have over $100 million in salary cap space, and they play in an area that's a no-tax state, which serves as an attraction for free agents, where when you offer a dollar, that dollar is worth more than a dollar that the New York Jets or Giants are offering. And so Jacksonville, in the eyes of many executives and the eyes of many coaching candidates, becomes the most attractive situation in the league. But there are a lot of them. Six teams have head coaching openings. Seven teams have general manager openings. And these teams are going to be busy making decisions that shape their rosters and franchises for years to come.
It's a really good point about the state of Florida and the amount of money that you can hold on to there as opposed to other places. Mina, you heard what Adam just had to say. what do you think about the best available job? Do you agree that it's Jacksonville?
I think Jacksonville is very attractive for the reasons Adam described, but I actually think the Chargers job is more appealing because of the pieces that are already in place there. First, on that roster, you have so many talented skill players ranging from Keenan Allen to Hunter Henry to Austin Eckler. You've got Joey Bosa, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. And then most importantly, you have a young quarterback in place in Justin Herbert who has blown my socks off this season. Look, I love Trevor Lawrence. I love Justin Fields. But a rookie quarterback, a prospect, is not a sure thing. Look at the past few drafts, and you can see that. And Justin Herbert, you know what you have. And on top of that, beyond the players, you also have the GM, Tom Telesco, who put those players in place. Whereas in Jacksonville, not only do you have an owner who says he's going to get involved in the roster, but you don't know who's running that roster. So I just think the level of certainty with that position makes it very appealing to head coaching candidates.
Yeah, I'm with Mina. Listen, I vacationed in Florida, love the beaches, but we talking about L.A., okay? Los Angeles, the city of stars. Mina, no. Like, when we get done with this show, it's going to be dark as hell where we at, Mina, I mean, Dan and Laura. Mina just going to be getting her day started. Oh. I want to go coach in L.A. Look, one point I want to make that Mina didn't make, because all of her points are reasons why I firmly believe the Chargers is the best spot. But, y'all, let's just take it to football this year. How many games did they have the opportunity to win in the fourth quarter? Like, we're not looking at a team that's far away from winning a lot of games this season, right? Obviously, it would have changed Anthony Lynn's fate. But when you look at a team, especially when you're trying to decide, I think, as a head coach, where are they? Like, how long are we in this process of rebuilding and then actually thinking we've arrived? Well, you're not far with the Chargers. As bad as we felt for the fans in L.A., the fans of the Chargers, they still, too, can identify that a lot of these games they could have quite possibly won, especially against some divisional opponents, obviously the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, and listen, with another year of experience under his belt, you never know if Justin Herbert maybe leads those losses to wins. Dan, we keep talking about young QBs like Herbert and even Trevor Lawrence, who's not even in the NFL yet. What about Deshaun Watson? That Houston Texans job is open.
Well, the fact that Deshaun is there makes it enticing, but it's not a good job. I mean, how do you build your football team around your quarterback? Draft picks. They have one in the first three rounds this year. I mean, they just don't have any ability to help their roster out because it's not a very good roster. And you don't build your football team, at least long-term successfully, via free agency. You have to do it via the draft, and you have to hit on your picks, especially the early ones. And they don't have them. So while Deshaun's remarkable, he's one of the very best 5, 6, 7 guys in the NFL, his job, I just think it's such a difficult – you're handcuffed. You're in such a hole that you have to have 3 years to try to dig out of. That's the difference between, like, if you look at the difference between Los Angeles and Houston, Tom Telesco is the big difference. Why? Because you both got good quarterbacks, but knowing that you got a guy that's proven draft-wise and you have the picks, that's why it's such a better job in L.A.
I wish I could disagree with you, Dan, but I think you're right. And I would put the Houston job. No, I mean, because I love Deshaun and I want better for him. And I want one of the best coaches in the NFL to have the opportunity to coordinate that offense as well. But you're right. It's a very difficult job, especially for whoever gets to be GM there. I would put it somewhere between the Chargers, Jags and Jets, and then Detroit and Atlanta in terms of appeal, because Deshaun Watson is the kind of quarterback you dream about your entire life of getting, but beyond him, it's really challenging there.
It just feels scary about the window on Deshaun Watson. You don't want that to close on some of his talent and potential before they can get some people around him. Hey, we're just getting started on NFL Live, everybody. Did the Eagles just tank for a better draft pick? We'll sift through the layers of Doug Peterson's decision to bench Jalen Hurts, figure out where Carson Wentz fits into all this. And it's been 18 years, but the Browns are back in the playoffs. Stick around to hear about one player who can win the game single-handedly for the Browns against the Steelers. I'll give you a hint. It's not a quarterback. We'll be right back.
Get him, Ben.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Get ready for a super wild card weekend with 2 days of triple headers. The Countdown crew will have you covered here on ESPN for both the action kicking off Saturday as the Bills host the Colts at 1 p.m. before the Rams and Seahawks squaring off at 4:40. The Bucks face Washington at 8:15. On Sunday, ESPN and ABC get the day started at 1 p.m. with the Ravens and Titans before the Saints host the Bears at 4:40. The Steelers and Browns wrap up wild card weekend at 8:15 Sunday night. Back to last night, though, the NFC East hanging in the balance. The Giants were still alive going into this game after beating the Cowboys, but they needed the Eagles to hold off Washington. Dan Orlovsky, we picked this one up in the third quarter. Eagles down by 3, third and goal. Hurts trying to make something happen to Zach Ertz.
Yeah, and there's nothing there. He throws that ball away, and then this has become decision time, right? Like, are they going to kick the field goal, go for it? They go for it. He's done it a lot this year. Kinsey kicked the field goal. Nothing there early on for Jalen Hurts. Scrambles. He's got that receiver open, and he just misses him in the back of the end zone.
Washington takes over on down, so you think we'll see Jalen Hurts more, right? Well, no, because this is when Doug Peterson decides to bring Nate Sudfeld in at quarterback.
It's also the moment when in our group text, I'm like, What's happening? Why is this happening? Obviously leads to that long interception on third down.
It was a rough go for Sudfeld in this game. The next Eagles possession, you'll see him fumble here. The point, though, is that they said they were trying to evaluate Sudfeld. They wanted to get him in the game. And there's more from Doug Peterson on this one as the Eagles lose 20-14. Here's what Peterson had to say about all this, his decisions today.
Failed to score as an offense. We failed to score there at the end of the third quarter. We were struggling just a little bit to move the ball. Defensively, they kept us in the game with a couple of takeaways late, and my plan was to get Nate in the game. Nate's a guy that is very capable of running our system and executing and an opportunity to pull that game out last night. And this season didn't come down to last night. You know, I got to look at the whole thing, do what's in the best interest, and try to win a game.
All right, so that line of thinking drew the ire of so many around the NFL and even outside of it. Mina, what did you make of Peterson's decision to pull Hurts?
Well, for me, the whole thing calls to mind the iconic words of Krusty the Clown. Oops, I said the quiet part loud and the loud part quiet, because what the Eagles did here, which is to say going into week 17, not explicitly trying to win, not really caring about win because it's a meaningless game for them, choosing to evaluate certain players, teams do that all the time in week 17. The only difference is they did it loudly in a close game on prime time, a game with playoff ramifications for other teams. That's why people care so much. Now, look, I don't know how this affects the locker room. Dan, I'm sure you'll speak to that. And if there are players on the Eagles who are upset about how this played out, I think they're perfectly entitled to those feelings. But if I'm Philadelphia, I don't care about how this affects other teams or the game of football. They did what was right for their organization.
Yeah, I think your points are well taken. I mean, I understand, like, the they did it loudly thing. They had two touchdowns last night because Jalen Hurts was scrambling, right? Like, there's a difference between not trying to win that we see teams that rest starters in week 17, and there's a difference between, like, all right, we're going to go lose. This gives us a better chance to lose, so to speak, which I think we all consider and say playing Nate Sudfeld does over playing Jalen Hurts in that moment. I like thinking as a player in that locker room, especially a veteran player in that locker room experiencing it, like, I would be frustrated. Why did I get to practice all week? Why did I come here and prepare? If I knew this was the case, I would have done something on New Year's Eve maybe. Like, why did I have to go through the process of getting ready to play that football game, or at least committing to go play that football game? And I think of watch Zach Ertz's press conference today. Him being emotional. Is that going to be his lasting memory of his time in Philadelphia? You know, Jason Kelce 2 weeks ago gets emotional of why winning is the most important thing. Is that going to be one of his lasting memories as a snap for a Philadelphia Eagle? So I feel for those players.
Yeah, important to note, too, that the difference between a win and a loss means the sixth pick. A win would have meant the ninth pick. We've heard, Adam, Mort's reporting about Carson Wentz and his relationship with Doug Peterson and potentially asking for a trade. Is there a sense that both Peterson and Wentz will be back next year in Philly?
Well, the sense right now, Laura, is that Doug Peterson will be back. In fact, we said that over the weekend, that that's the plan. Now, let me say this. He is supposed to meet with the Eagles owner, Jeffrey Lurie, tomorrow. But their plan is to bring him back. Of course, you never know what comes out of these meetings. You never know if tempers rise, if tempers flare. But again, going into that meeting, yes, the plan is to bring back Doug Peterson. He's won a Super Bowl there. He's gotten that team to the playoffs in three of the last 4 years. They've been very strong, and they've produced. So again, the expectation is he'll be back. Carson Wentz, different issue. And it depends on who you ask. If you listen to the general manager, Howie Roseman, talk today about how much he likes Carson, how much they've invested in Carson, never ruled out the idea that they wouldn't trade Carson, just said they're not thinking and planning like that right now. And so I think that this is going to gather some steam as the offseason progresses because, frankly, even though he hasn't said it publicly, I think that's what Carson Wentz is going to want in the end, is to a new change of scenery, a new team, a new coaching staff, somewhere that he wants to be. And so I think that's going to come at some point this offseason. The question is when, and so then the Eagles have to figure out what they do. When you say, are both going to be back? I would say probably not, but we'll see how this plays out.
I like that. Marcus.
Man, let me clear up some things. First, Doug Peterson lying. He wasn't trying to win the game. He was trying to evaluate Suffolk or whatever the hell his name is. The second thing is this, though. Like, you got to spare me. I'm like, spare me with the whole feelings, and I feel bad. Like, Doug Peterson played Carson Wentz long beyond when we all knew he probably should have sat him on the bench. It wasn't an uproar then during the season. When all of that was going on, out from the veteran players, they knew he wasn't playing winning football at quarterback. And then Carson Wentz not saying anything about these reports. Man up, bro. Like, I done said this before. This is the NFL. When you don't play well, you find yourself in the situation that you're in. All of the lack of trust, I get it. Go play somewhere else. But guess what's going to happen if you go play somewhere else and don't play well? Somebody else going to be playing. So Carson Wentz does not need to attach this to his name. He needs to man up, whatever situation he is, try to go win that quarterback job and rectify what he did this year. That's the bottom line.
So you think it's just as easy as like man up? Like just like to pretend it didn't happen. Let's be super tough.
What is he going to do? What is he going to do outside of that?
Well, he's got to handle the situation and play better, but would you feel comfortable walking in there? Would you feel comfortable going to do your job as well as you can?
Dan, a part of the NFL is not feeling comfortable. It's based on your performance. The NFL and the way you play and stay as a starter or stay on a team is based on your performance. That's what it's based on.
And so,
like, I get all
is
of
your
the relationship
some,
stuff
and,
that you're talking
and,
about.
And what position?
But he is on the bench because of his performance.
I'm aware of that, Marcus. But what position in the NFL is incredibly dependent on everything around them?
Quarterback.
Okay.
But you didn't sing that tune last year when he took them to the playoffs.
Correct.
They were still depleted.
I understand that.
And but it was still depleted then.
And Marcus, did something happen this spring that was different than happened last spring leading them to the playoffs? I think there was.
They drafted Jalen Hurts.
Okay. And how did that work
so
out
you,
last month?
So that's the quarterback. So the quarterback you want leading your team is the one that got shook when they drafted a quarterback.
There's been a lot that's happened
that's
there
you want
in
to
Philly.
Be your starter.
Here's what I would say, too. His silence, Carson Wentz's, has been pretty instructive in all of this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Fighting Spirit Moment is brought to you by Modelo. brewed for those with a fighting spirit.
The Browns showed the fighting spirit, clinching a playoff spot for the first time since 2002, and it really did take some fight against the Steelers, who they'll see, of course, again this week in the wild card round. If you're a Browns fan, though, I feel for you, because right up until the final moments, this one kept you on the edge of your seat against the Steelers' backups. It's been quite a first year, though, for Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski. He's led Cleveland to their first winning season since 2007, their first playoff berth in 18 years. Both of those were the longest active droughts in the NFL entering this season. Next up for Stefanski and the Browns, a playoff win, something the franchise hasn't done since 1994. And that's the good news for Cleveland, right? But, Adam, it's not all good for the Browns. What do we know about Olivier Vernon?
Laura, he ruptured his Achilles tendon. He's going to be out for Sunday's playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's going to be out for the season. And it comes at a really tough time for both him and the team. For him personally, his contract was expiring. He was scheduled to be a free agent this offseason. And he was scheduled to be a free agent this offseason at a time where he was coming off a season when he had 9 sacks. So he was clearly producing for Cleveland and its defensive line. And then Cleveland will be without one of its top pass rushers going into its first playoff game since 2002. And the Browns haven't won a playoff game since 1994 when they beat the New England Patriots, when Cleveland's coach at that time was Bill Belichick.
There was that photo floating around. In fact, I think you posted it, Adam, of Belichick in the Browns puffer sweater thing. Anyway, bad news, though, for them, and we'll have more from you coming later on. Marcus, let's talk about this. When you think about this Browns team, are you scared of them in the playoffs if you have to play them?
I'm not scared of them in totality. Obviously, you got to pay attention to that run game and the way Stefanski and Baker is operating down the field in the pass game. But look, this is massive with Olivier Vernon. This changes things for me and my perspective of what they can do in the playoffs. Olivier Vernon was the best rusher on the team. Yes, Myles Garrett is on this team. Olivier Vernon was the best rusher. Since week 10, 26 pressures. That's along the lines with Aaron Donald, Hassan Reddick, who had 5 sacks in one game. So I think some, you know, this whole leaving with 20 sacks or 18 or 17, obviously that's a tremendous job by guys that get there, but also these pressures and moving quarterbacks off the spot. Olivier Vernon is going to be a huge hole in this defense when it comes to defending the run too as well. So, look, worried about them, scared of them? I don't think so. I think Pittsburgh sitting in their facility today saying, you know, we let Mason Rudolph and we sat our best prolific players and we lost the game by 2 points. So, I don't know how Pittsburgh takes that, but I would feel pretty good about it getting the guys back that's going to play in this playoff game.
I agree. This injury is brutal because the one time you can't lose your pass rush or, you know, have it suffer in any way is when your pass defense is terrible. And the Browns secondary has been a problem all season through no fault of their own. I mean, they came into the season, they lost Greedy Williams, they lost Grant Delpit, who they took in the draft. In this particular game, they had injuries across the board, COVID, Denzel Ward, he might get a chance to play because they're playing on Sunday. But this is a secondary that relies on its defensive line to get home, and now they're losing their most productive pass rusher. It is all on Myles Garrett because that secondary behind him, like, they can't let Ben Roethlisberger, who gets the ball out very quickly, have time. He needs to take over this game. That's their best shot on defense.
I still think that their offense can be productive. You know, if you look at what they can do in this game, they did a little bit yesterday, but I told you guys at the beginning of the season, like, I felt like the most important person on this team was Nick Chubb. Had a great year. I think the most important people going into this game for them to win is their tight ends. They could put those multiple tight ends on the field, those 2 and 3 tight ends on the field, and they get really favorable matchups. And I actually think that early in this game, Cleveland should spread Pittsburgh's defense out, because when they do that and throw the ball to the tight ends, it's money. It's almost like $100 worth of money when they do it. And it's a really big part of the success for their offense is those 2 and 3 tight end sets against the linebackers. And you guys brought up Myles Garrett's name, right? Like, listen, show up. On the other side, I promise TJ Watt's gonna. He's one of the best defensive players in football. Myles Garrett, show up against this offensive line in Pittsburgh that's not good. You get paid a lot of money. Maybe not $100 worth of money, but you get paid a lot of money. and it's time for you to earn it on Sunday in a playoff game.
Dan's just reminding that there might have been a little wager, a friendly wager between him and Marcus about the Browns.
Quiet about
hey,
that
Marcus,
today.
Really fast, can Myles Garrett win this game on his own?
Hell no, but he can affect the game and change certain possessions, especially if you see Pittsburgh in a situation at the end of the game where it's a two-minute drill or you're trying to get a score and it turns into a pass rush. But Miles can do a lot of things to help in that regard, but he can't win it. It's going to be up to Stefanski, Baker Mayfield, and the formula that they've been using all season long.
All right, more on that bet between you two coming up later on.
It's I'm going to give him 10,000 pennies.
Coming up, there is someone here that says the Chargers hire a certain head coaching candidate, and that means it's game over for the rest of the NFL. That's next on NFL Live.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can't wait for Wild Card Weekend, and you can catch us on Sunday as part of ESPN's megacast of Ravens Titans. We're going to go between the lines. So all of us here, we're going to take you inside the analytics while our partners over at Daily Wager discuss the live in-game odds throughout the broadcast. Watch it all on ESPN Plus. Cannot wait to be with you guys for that. Also, there's plenty of other offerings from ESPN as Lamar Jackson leads the Ravens to take on the Titans on Sunday at 1 on ESPN, ABC, ESPN Deportes, with megacast presentations on ESPN2, Freeform, and ESPN+. Ah, the old coaching carousel. It's kicked into high gear with the regular season over. And so here's a look at the six head coaching vacancies in the NFL right now. The Chargers posted the best record of the group here at 7-9. The Jaguars on the other end of the spectrum finishing in last place in the NFL. But of course, that means they'll get that number one pick in the 2021 NFL draft. They also have the most cap space of any team heading into the offseason. So it just depends on what you look at for what could be the most desirable. Adam, let's talk about some candidates interviewing. And we'll start with Robert Saleh today.
Well, thank you, Laura. I appreciate that. And you got Robert Saleh, the 49ers defense coordinator, interviewing with the Atlanta Falcons for their head coaching job today. The Detroit Lions also have expressed interest in Saleh, who certainly seems like he's going to get the opportunity to get one of these head coaching jobs. He is from Michigan. The Lions, obviously, the Falcons were one of the first teams that reached out to him to interview him for the head coaching job, and it looks like he could be on the move. Eric Bieniemy, busy day for him. Spent the morning interviewing with the Falcons. Will spend tonight interviewing with the Detroit Lions. Also has been requested to interview with the New York Jets. So there are a lot of teams on the docket, and that doesn't include some of the others that have been connected to him, like the Chargers in Texas. Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith has received interest from all six teams. With a head coach opening right now, they have either sent in permission slips to Tennessee to interview him or plan to send in permission slips to interview him. So clearly Arthur Smith also would appear to be in line to get one of these jobs, whichever one it is. But he's got other business to worry about first, and that would be a matchup against the Baltimore Ravens on ESPN Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, Adam, all over all of this. Continue to keep it locked here on ESPN for the latest when it comes to these coaching moves. Let's take a look at some of these names. Mina, you just heard what Adam said. Bieniemy's been busy already. What would Eric Bieniemy bring to an organization if he's hired there?
Two things really jump out to me, Laura, when we think about Eric Bieniemy. One, the offensive production is undeniable. Now, people might point to the Chiefs and say, well, yeah, it's easy to produce if you have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. But when you watch the games, the inventiveness of the concepts, the way in which the offense has evolved over the last 2 years, it's not like Patrick Mahomes is just running around throwing into tight windows. Guys are wide open. He does a great job of manufacturing space for them. Beyond that, off the field, this is a guy who is beloved by every player who's ever played for him. I've spoken to some of them. He has been a part of a winning culture, which we know is when you go to a new team, you bring that culture with you, as well as occasionally some of the personnel. I think he's a home run in that respect as well.
Marcus, let's talk about Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. What does he bring to the table?
Oh, first of all, you see the progression that he made with Josh Allen. Like, Brian Daboll goes to the Chargers, it's over. Justin Herbert has already shown us that he can be a top player in this league. And we saw Josh Allen progression with Brian Daboll calling offense. Dan has talked about him all season long, how creative he's been. Obviously, they brought in Stephon Diggs. Well, look at the Chargers roster. Look at that offense that he'll have an opportunity to lead and guard. All of this is with the caveat of hiring the right people around you. But from the perspective of a young quarterback, you're looking for a head coach that has shown that he can raise that level of a player at the most important spot at the position. Brian Daboll is a home run for the Chargers based on what he's done with Josh Allen and that offense this year.
Let me just clarify really fast. The Chargers are a Super Bowl contender if Brian Daboll goes there.
Yeah, why not?
There we go. Listen, just one of that.
Marcus writing checks.
There we go. I love it. All right, Dan, we don't usually see defensive guys. We'll come back to you. Don't worry. We got to get to this. Mm-hmm. We don't see defensive guys getting these big interviews a lot of the times, but why should teams love 49ers D coordinator Robert Saleh?
Personal leadership. You know, I think he'll bring that to every person that and every player that he encounters. You know, I was with Robert probably 10 years ago in Houston, and that's what stood out. And you see, you know, Mina mentioned evolution. I kind of call it flexibility in Robert Saleh's case. Like, this year he had to be flexible. I also love the fact that he was faced with adversity this year. You know, he didn't have a bunch of star players because of some injuries and guys who left, and they still performed really well. And then I love the fact that he's bringing Matt LaFleur's little brother with him. I mean, that offense that they run, that the Shanahan tree style of offense, it's killing it in the NFL right now. And I think because of that, he's really enticing. I would say this for all of the candidates, and I think this is something general managers have to look at. Who are you bringing with you? Yeah. You know, like, especially the teams, Jacksonville, the New York Jets, the Chargers. Who are you bringing specifically to develop these quarterbacks? Just because you get to pick them high doesn't mean they're finished products. So I think that's really important also is who are those guys bringing along with them, the Ken Dorsey types, the Mike Kafka types, that are going to develop these young quarterbacks.
Yeah, and to Marcus's point, Brian Daboll can develop a quarterback with the best of them on his own. All right, back to Wild Card Weekend next. And one way to get to Tom Brady, bring the heat. Chase Young tells Brady he's coming for him. Will that be enough to upset the Bucks? We're talking Bucks in Washington next on NFL Live. We'll be right back. Dan's dancing. Just want everyone to know he's dancing.
Trying to figure out what's the best dance for this.
That's not it, I don't think.
Look at the hands.
Maybe.
Is that dancing? Is that what we're talking?
Tampa Bay taking on the Washington football team on Wild Card Weekend. This one coming your way very soon, and Saturday night, in fact, and at 8:15. And, you know, listen, there's already been a little bit of, I guess, trash talk, you could call it. Chase Young saying he wants to take on Tom Brady and kind of asking for him and calling for him. That's one thing. But either way, there has been some injury information in this game that we need to get updated on. So, Adam, I'll let you start with Devin White.
Yeah, he was obviously placed on the reserve COVID list last week, and the Buccaneers were really hoping for a Sunday game because they felt like a Sunday game would enable him to have a chance to get back in time. But clearly playing Washington on Saturday night looks like he's going to prevent Devin White from being back from playing in that game, and he's not going to be able to go. Mike Evans hyperextended his left knee, minimal swelling, according to Bruce Arians. They're hoping he can come back and play on Saturday, although, again, Saturday makes it a little bit tougher for Mike Evans to get back out there, and they are saying that he will be day-to-day going forward this week for that wildcard matchup against the WFT.
Yeah, glad that injury to Evans wasn't as bad as it looked in the moment. Let's get to a little more on this game. Washington's defense has the recipe for success against Brady and the Bucks. They can get after the quarterback. And this season, Washington's defense ranks in the top 10 in pass rush win rate, sacks per dropback, and pressure percentage. The Bucks and Brady just 1-3 in games when allowing 3 sacks this season. Mina, we've talked about it all year long. Tom Brady just doesn't want to get hit. I'm not sure who does, but he especially doesn't. So can this Washington D-line get after Tom Brady on Saturday night?
I think they can, and I think it's tremendously important. I have to think Bucks fans were watching Washington, and maybe they weren't as mad as Giants fans when the Eagles didn't win, but this is not a matchup they wanted. Look, Tom Brady and this offense have steamrolled the NFL over the last month, but he has been pressured on less than 11% of his dropbacks. That's not just the lowest rate of any quarterback, guys. The gap between him and the second quarterback is bigger than the second quarterback and the 15th quarterback. That is how unbothered he's been. And we have seen all season, there's nothing wrong with Tom Brady's arm. His arm is fine. But if you can pressure him, he has struggled at times. And here comes this Washington defensive line that gets after the quarterback. That makes it an interesting matchup for me.
Yeah, here's the interesting aspect of this game is whether it's this Washington football team game or they win and go all the way to the Super Bowl, we're going to say the same thing about the Bucs. Can you get after Tom Brady and can you keep the ball in front? Because if you can't keep the ball in front of you, we've seen it, although we pleaded them to do something else, they will continue to throw the ball downfield and they'll continue to take their shots. And so if you give him a clean pocket, it's good. Now, if you get after him, that's when they struggle with it. We saw the Rams get after Brady. We saw the Saints get after Brady. And so you have to be able to close the pocket on him and make him uncomfortable. Because if you don't, and he is clean, and they do throw the ball downfield, you got to score 35 to beat him. Is your offense good enough to score 35 to beat him? Because if he's clean, that offense in Tampa Bay is going to score 5 touchdowns, a minimum. So the Washington football team, it completely comes down to Jack Del Rio's front four. If you get after Brady, you got a chance. If you don't, the ball's going over your head.
Marcus, I know you love this Washington D-line, but it is Tom Brady.
Yeah, you got to be careful what you ask for, Chase Young. And listen, he has not done much wrong this season, but you better be careful because I'm going to tell y'all this. Like, from 2005 when I got drafted to 2013 to my last year in Baltimore in 14. You know what everybody said? As long as you can get pressure on Brady, you can beat him.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people ain't succeeded at that, and we've been knowing it for about 20 years now. So everybody just, look, this is the playoffs. This is TB12. This is, look, a 43, if I told y'all in 2018, all right, there would be a 43-year-old quarterback that changed teams, throws 40 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, and is third in passing yardage in the NFL. Y'all would have slapped me in my face and told me I was lying.
Yep.
But here we are in 2020. All of the things we talked about with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and how bad the offense has been and all of those things. Obviously, we went week to week on things that needed to correct. But I got to say, you can look at the competition, but that same Atlanta team took the Kansas City Chiefs to the brink was able to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes and do great things against that offense. I'm just telling everybody. I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm telling everybody, you better be damn careful what you ask for when this dude is in the playoffs. I'm a victim of it, and I'm telling you, it ain't what you want most of the time.
Listen. I'm not picking against the Bucs. I want to be clear. I'm not picking against Tom Brady.
We'll get you there by Friday.
If I had to pick a bad matchup for them, I'd go with this front seven. And I'll say this. Adam touched on it at the top. Schedule matters, man. We were talking about the Browns and how lucky they'll be to get Denzel Ward back. Not having Devin White in this game is enormous because he has been spectacular at the linebacker position. And this Washington defense is so horizontal. They run the football, tons of screens. They need him and they will not have him.
Yeah, really quickly, Dan, you said that you'd have to score 35 to go against Brady if you are not able to pressure him. You think Washington can do that?
No.
There we go. All right, time for one more thing before we go. We're going to start with Dan on this one. You get to kick us off.
You know what's been lost today because of what happened in the game last night? Alex Smith's journey, man.
Let's go.
I mean, we celebrated when Alex Smith got back on the field, but this guy almost died, and he led his team to a division title this year. He's 5-1 as a starting quarterback, and I love the fact that his wife took that leg brace that he had for such a long time and built him a trophy, shaped his Lombardi trophy in commemoration of it. Alex Smith, man, tons of respect. I salute.
Crazy dope. Hats off to him. You're right, D.O. I'm going to go Justin Herbert, and I know we're talking about the coaching carousel, and we talked about the successful season that he's had. I wanted to mention a name that hasn't been mentioned enough. Pep Hamilton. his quarterback coach. Yes. Anytime you got a young quarterback, the guy that's working with him every day plays an integral part.
No
Beth Hamilton did a hell of a job this year.
Mm-hmm. Tore it up in the XFL, too. Listen, Deshaun Watson led the league in passing yards, and his team lost 12 games. Not only is this proof that wins are not a quarterback stat,
boom,
but it is a plea, or I'm going to plead, Houston, do right by him. Please, if not, stage an intervention, because Deshaun Watson deserves than 12 losses. He is that special.
17 weeks, 256 games, zero cancellations. The NFL somehow managed to get through an entire season without a single cancellation in the COVID era where everything, life itself, has been disrupted. Hard to imagine the league could have done it. Props to everybody involved, the NFL, the NFLPA, the players, the coaches, the organization. Unbelievable.
It really is remarkable, and I just want to say, from all of us who are just fans here, it's been so much fun to watch this year. So many thanks to everyone who made it happen. We'll see you guys tomorrow on NFL Live. Keep it right here.